Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 12, Luke chapter 12, number 12 tonight. We are going to start off in Luke chapter number 12. We're going to be doing a topical style message and be turning in our Bibles a little bit. Luke chapter number 12. We've been doing a lot more topical or in series such as the great questions of the Bible, or behold thy God, and behold thy Lord. And because of that, we haven't been in as many books and chapters of the Bible like we normally are. And we are going to get back to the book of Ephesians very soon. I'm just trying to let the Lord lead us and guide us in exactly what he wants us to preach on, what he wants us to be on. With all the different cases and all the different circumstances today, the Lord's really just been burdening my heart with some different interesting things. And just to try to help us as we're going and living through this. And tonight's title of tonight's message is, God Knows Just What to Say, or Jesus Knows Just What to Say. And you ever been to a spot where you just didn't know what to say? I don't know about you, but the time that we're living in right now, it's a time where I'm just like, I don't know what to say. Sometimes people come up to me and they ask me hypothetical questions. Hey, Pastor, if the governor says that you can't have church anymore or puts the stipulation on, what are you going to do? He says, we're going to pass that when we come about it. We're going to pray, going to get as close to God as we can, and then you know what we're going to do as the Lord leads us and guides us. And then they come up and they say, what about this and what about that? And I says, man, you have a lot of things to think about and a lot of things that you're concerned with. I says, but we're just going to take it one step at a time, one day at a time. We're going to remain true to the Word of God. We're going to remain true to what I believe the Lord's leading us and guiding us. And sometimes I just don't know what to say. Sometimes I look at them and say, I don't know. Do you know the answer? And they're like, no. People have opinions, but the answer, you know, how to guide throughout this time that we're living in and the narrative that they were living through, it's unusual. It's different. And we've been talking a lot about being close to the Lord and letting the Lord lead us and letting the Lord guide us, making sure that we're ruling our own spirits, not being like that city that's broken down and without walls, that we talked about how we give the devil a foothold and things like that. But tonight we're going to look at our speech a little bit and help us understand something. God knows exactly what needs to be said. And we're going to look at some different Bible characters and Bible cases where God knew exactly what to say and the situation turned out the way that God wanted it to. And I want to be honest with you, God has something he wants us to say. As a preacher, you would hope that as someone, when they get up to preach the Word of God, you have a message, not from yourself, but a message from the Lord, that you've been praying and that you've been studying, and it's not something that is just off the cuff based off of things you've heard before, but instead the personal relationship you have with God. And sometimes it is the spur of a moment, and sometimes it is just off the cuff in the fact that someone asks you to speak. And I think you should always have your heart prepared and ready to speak and ready to go. And I know Pastor Thompson always used to joke me every once in a while. He says, you know, one of these times I'm just going to tell you that, hey, you're going to preach tonight and you have to get up there and preach, and no one's going to know that I told you that. So make sure you're always ready. Have a sermon sitting right there. He says, one of these times I'm just going to look at you and tell you, hey, you're going to preach tonight. And I said, okay. So I made sure I had something that was always on my heart. You know, he never did that, but there was a couple of times when he wasn't feeling good or got sick and, you know, or, hey, can you help me tonight? It was never been on the spur of a moment, at least for a service like this. Other times it's been something like that, and God gives you what to say. And that's where these verses here in Luke chapter number 12, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, and Lord, that these words be words that you once said, and Lord, the words that be something that are taken according to your Holy Spirit, and Lord, apply to each of our lives. Lord, help us not to shy away. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be bold, Lord, where you want us to be bold, and help us to speak the words that God would have us to speak. Lord, we have enough of man's opinions. We have enough of what we think is right and what we think is wrong. Lord, our heart can be very deceitful. Lord, I pray that we look for you to give us the words to say. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people use this as an excuse when it comes to being a soul winner. I think it's clearly found in the Bible, we should share our faith with others. We should communicate our faith with others. But that's one of the greatest challenges that the devil tries to rob away from us. And they use these words that I don't know what to say, or I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I'm afraid that they're going to get mad at me. And you know what these verses are saying here is the example, and it's amazing in the book of Acts how it showed character after character after character that God gave the words to say the right things to, and he can do the same thing for us. There are many hard cases. You say, what's a hard case? A person who you never ever thought would have gotten saved that got saved because of the fact of a testimony or the words of Jesus Christ or the testimony of a believer, because they were listening to the Lord and they wanted to hear what God wanted them to do. And as they were led by the Holy Spirit, you know what happened? God made a difference in their lives. I think all of us would say, you know what? There's people in our life that we'd like to see saved. There's hard cases in our family, hard cases in our community, hard cases in our neighborhood, or hard cases that we would love to see God do something. And we've tried. We've tried in our own strength. We've tried in our own way. We've tried reasoning. We've tried this. We've tried that. We've tried routines, and we've tried this. But we need to be spirit-filled people and allow God to work through us. And as we allow God to work through us, he knows exactly what needs to be said. Now, we can't imagine that this thing may need to be said. Sometimes when there's certain sermons or certain messages that I really particularly don't want to preach, or I really particularly don't think that's what's necessary for the hour, and the Lord lays something upon my heart, you know what? That's because it's there for somebody. And it's amazing. God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what you need. And sometimes when there's certain sermons that I get done with and I'm thinking, man, that was a dud. I can't believe they let me preach and blah, blah, blah. And people come out, man, God worked in your heart. God worked and spoke to my heart, Pastor. That's what I need to hear, Pastor. It's because God knows what we need. So let's think about a couple things. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit is what has been promised to us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the things that Jesus had taught them, the Holy Spirit of God was going to bring them to remembrance, the things that they need when they need it. You ever had that before? I don't know how many times that I'm preaching the Word of God or teaching a story, the Holy Spirit is convicting my heart. You say, well, it does, because there's things that I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to get up and I don't want to preach something expecting something from you and not want to live that way. Does it mean that I have arrived? Does it mean that I have aspired to be everything the Bible says? No. But the moment I stop wanting to be that person, the moment I stop trying to do that, the moment I stop contending to try to be the person, I should stop preaching. Because I don't want to be hypocritical and say, this is what you need to do and live a whole different life. And does that mean I'm perfect? No, it means I'm far from perfect, but I'm reaching forth. I'm doing those things, and I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And I don't want to be a hypocrite when I preach. Why? Because I want God's blessing. I don't want the curse of just sitting here and preaching and nothing ever happening. It's because I want God to give me what he wants to give to you, because he knows what you need. I look around the room and I think, well, this person needs this, and this person needs that, and that person needs that, and that person really needs that. Now, I can't do that. I need God to give me what you need. And that's why I do that through prayer. I do that through study. It's not something that you just get up and you start talking. Growing up, you work with different kids, and sometimes they have, I remember one bus kid, that van kid, whatever you want to call him, was Anthony. And Anthony thought that I had the coolest job. First of all, he thought I made a lot of money. And this is when I was the assistant pastor, and I don't make a lot of money now. I didn't make a lot of money back then, but he saw the big house that was back there, and he saw, you know, all the vans. He saw the big building here. He thought it was all mine. And I said, no, all that stuff belongs to God. And he says, well, all you got to do is just get up there and talk. You get up there and talk, and you sit down, and everybody thinks very highly of you. I said, well, first of all, not everybody thinks very highly of me. And number two, it's not just getting up there and talking. This, you go and you study and you ask the Lord and you beg the Lord and you say, God, I don't have anything to offer these people. God, give me what you want for these people. And then God sometimes uses what's being said through the preaching and teaching of his word to speak to different people's hearts in different ways. It's amazing where the seed falls in certain people's hearts, and the people who you think's going to, that needed it and needs to be affected by it and needs to change, they're the ones that don't even like it. They get up and leave during the service, or you can tell they're not even paying attention. And then the ones that you don't think need to come to the altar, they're the ones at the altar because God spoke to their heart. And it's because God knows exactly what to say. Now, you believe that for a preacher, the same case is for you in your life too. Same case is with that son or daughter that's not living the way you want them to, those grandchildren that are away from the Lord. Those, you can do your best to try to fix them, but you need God to give you what needs to be said, because they know, he knows what needs to be said to them. I thought about some of the verses that remind us of that. The first thing I want you to think about is Job 42:2. Job, after going through all those different things and having those discussions with God and God putting him in his place, says, I know that thou canst do everything. He says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. So the reason why that God knows exactly what to say, or just what to say, is because he knows her thoughts. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going on in her heart. He knows what's going on in her mind. He knows where we're being hypocritical. He knows where, you know, the lies that we've believed from the devil, all those different things. Psalms 139 puts it this way. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. And I love Psalms 139. And he says, I know you're down sitting. I know you're uprising. He says, thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows where your thought is going sometimes when you don't even know where it's going. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you talk to someone of the opposite sex, you know, men don't understand women, women don't understand men that well. You know, sometimes I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? The Bible's saying that God actually understands that thought afar off. That sounds pretty amazing to me. If God can understand what the woman's thinking, that gets crazy. So same thing with from a man, I'm sure, that from you ladies' perspective. But he understands, he knows exactly where those thoughts are coming from. He knows whether it's sinful thinking, or if it's really simple thinking, or if it's sanctified thinking. He knows if it's something that you're doing based off of anger, if it's something that's based off of jealousy or greed. Sometimes he also knows off of simple thinking. Sometimes when we're discussing things, we're discussing the problems with the roof of it, they're having little issues there, and Mr. Chambers is talking, Mr. Bateman's talking, I'm sitting here nodding my head, and after it's all done, didn't understand a word they said at all. And it's because it's simple. I don't have knowledge concerning that. And sometimes people are simple. And sometimes they need to just be taught the things. And then sometimes they're spiritually. They're from spiritual places. And sometimes they're questions that need to be asked and need to be said because a decision needs to be made and the needs come. God knows exactly where they come from, the thought that is afar off. So it's a very simple sermon tonight. Two things. First, God knows just what to say. And I'd like underneath that to look at a couple stories where they tried to trap Jesus in his words. Go ahead and take your Bible to Matthew chapter number 22. And once again, these are familiar stories, but it just reminds us and helps build our faith to learn to depend on God. God, I don't have anything to offer people. I need you to give me what needs to be said. Once again, soul-winning routines is something that I understand people follow certain guidelines and certain benchmarks, but you need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't just have somebody go through something and christen them to be a Christian. You need something that is there and say, hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit of God knows exactly what that person needs. Now, the Bible's the Bible. The Word of God's the Word of God. The Word of God changes lives. But he gives us exactly the questions. And we're going to look at some of these here in a little bit. Matthew chapter 22. I want to establish a little principle here. They were trying to catch Jesus off guard. Look at verse number 15. It says, then, Matthew 22:15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So the whole purpose of these religious leaders were to entangle Jesus so they can make accusations about him to try to prove that he was not the Son of God and to find fault in him. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, once again, they're trying to butter him up. The great thing is Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew exactly what they were saying. He knew why they were saying it. Tell us therefore what thou thinkest. What thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. He knew exactly what needed to be said. You know, not only is these people here, but the disciples are there watching also. And he said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So to me, it's amazing. He knew exactly what needed to be said. He calls them out as hypocrites, but also he teaches them an important lesson that they took with them. And not just them, but also those that are around them heard the truth, and they took something with them that could help them in the future. Say, you know what? I remember what that guy said. He said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And that has been a message that's been taught over and over with so many different things when it comes to political things and government things. You know, there are certain things that belong to God, and there are certain things we should not cross the line on. And that's something we got to understand and realize. He knew exactly what to say. Now, you couldn't have come up with that. I couldn't have come up with that. But God can through you. So let's look at another story. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, you're going to see, is a familiar story. They take this woman in adultery, you know, the hypocrisy that's there, and all the things that are going on. You know, the woman's there, but the man's not there. And they're there with an angry crowd, and they're trying to, once again, find something to find fault with Christ. They're trying to find something to accuse him at. And this is what I'm saying, that there's hard cases in our life that are going to try to trip us up sometimes. You ever have a family member that does not believe like you do, and they start asking this question and this question and this question, and they're trying to confuse you and trying to bring fault and say, well, you said this and you said that. That's why we need God. We need God to give us wisdom. We need God to be, he knows exactly what needs to be said. He knows that some are being sinful when they speak, and some are being simple, but some are being spiritual, and we don't know which one of those things are. We have to answer the question according to what God wants us to. Why? Because God knows what the other person needs. Look here in John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You can imagine this woman is there, and she's probably been kind of almost drugged down the town. And once again, if it was me, I would have said, hey, where's the guy at? You're worried about the woman, but where's the guy? You know, but once again, I don't know what these people need to hear. There's an angry mob that's here. Verse number 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, once again, they're trying to tempt him. They're trying to look for a way to excuse him. And I tell you, that's the day we live in today. There's a bunch of people out there, whether it's family, people you work with, just society in general. They're trying to challenge with questions so they can accuse us, to make us look bad, to make us be able to blaspheme the name of Christ. We need to know what God would say, because look what he does. Verse number 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Now, what else could he said that would have caused all these people to leave? Nothing. He had to know. He knew their sin, and he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So he helps the crowd that's there. They're convicted. They leave without casting the stones. And he helps the woman that's taken in adultery. Man, both of those are what I would consider hard cases. What an amazing story. Now, let's go back to John chapter number 6. He knew exactly what needed to be said. Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, talked about can we really get burned out? And Jesus wanted to teach them the importance of ministry that day. And I don't know if you remember that story too much, but the disciples wanted to send them home, and Jesus asked them a question. Now, me or you, we probably would have said, look, we know you're tired, you're right, maybe we should send them away. But Jesus, moved with compassion, knew exactly what Philip needed to hear, knew exactly what Andrew needed to hear, knew exactly what Peter needed to hear. You say, Pastor, how can I know anything? You can't, but God does. If you become a mouthpiece for God, he can give you the words to say that can make a difference in someone's life. Look what it says in John chapter number 6. It says in verse number 5, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now look what it says in verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Once again, we've talked about these great questions of the Bible. You know, Jesus isn't looking for knowledge. He already knows it all. He's trying to teach you something about yourself and also teach you something about him. And that's what he's saying here. He says, look, what are we going to do to feed all these people? Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He knew about the miracle. He knew he was going to feed those people. But he wanted to teach Philip. And Philip said, in verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And so he's thinking physically. And then he says in verse number 8, and one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You know, perfect example, perfect story. They're coming, they're tired. They've heard about John the Baptist's death. They went through that, and they went through serving, and all these different things, taking care of all that multitude while Jesus was healing them. And then you come to the spot, they feed the 5,000. Then they had the storm, all this. We would have said, yeah, you know what, you're right. Let's just send them home before it's too late. It's because we don't know what they need. Philip needed to learn something that day. Andrew needed to learn something that day. But God knew exactly what needed to be said. And so let's remember this. Jesus knows exactly what needs to be said, even when those people are trying to trap him, but also when people are hard cases and need to be saved. Here in the book of John, just go back a few more chapters and go to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he asks an odd question, or makes an odd statement. It's not a statement that any of us would have said. On our own without having John chapter 3. And he says to Nicodemus in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus needed to hear that. He knew the perfect words to say to capture Nicodemus' mind and capture Nicodemus' heart. He knew exactly what Nicodemus was thinking and what he needed to hear in teaching and preaching. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a chief of the Pharisee. He would be what we consider a very hard case. No one would have probably looked at him and says, you know, that's someday going to be a follower of Jesus. That someday is going to be a person who buries Jesus, helps bury Jesus. No, they wouldn't have thought that. But this is a person that was open, and God gave the exact words. Of course, Jesus is God, and he knew exactly what to say. But the point is, he can give us what people need to hear. Go to John chapter number 4. You have one hard case that's a religious man that are very difficult to be saved. And then you have, in John chapter number 4, this woman at the well who was a very promiscuous woman, a person who had already been living with over 5 different men at different times. And John chapter 4, look what it says in verse 17 and 18. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Who else would have known that? Now, all the men that lived in that area would have known that. But Jesus showed her something and told her something that only she would know. Why? It's because he knows what she needs. I'm trying to get you to the point that, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to be prophets per se, but over and over you go back and you look in the scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, the true test of prophecy is when someone said something, whether or not it came true. And if it came true, and that's what the prophets, that's what a true prophet was, you said something that was from the Lord, and later on that prophecy came true. And I'm not saying that, you know, there is no more, you know, prophets per se. I know we preach the word of God and we talk about the prophecy that's going to be fulfilled, that's already been written in the scripture. But God can give us the word to say that's needed to someone else they need to hear. That's what the preacher is supposed to do when he gets up and preach. They're supposed to preach a message that's going to be something that's going to be helpful for those that hear. So the first point is, God knows just what to say. Second point is, God can tell us the right thing to say. God can tell us the right thing to say. If you like to, you can go over to the book of Acts. We're going to be in here just a little while and show you some different examples about how God gave specific things for people to say and do, and how God seems like told them exactly what they needed to hear. It's found all throughout the scriptures and testimonies of people that God can work through another individual. He can give you what to say. But we need to make sure we're close with him. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13 is where we're going to start, but it just kind of gives you the picture of the whole thing we're talking about here. Acts chapter number 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So what are they saying there? They're saying that Peter and John were saying things that they should not have known. They were unlearned, they were ignorant, meaning that the only way they could have learned, the only way they could have talked this way, the only way they could have knew those truths is because they spent time with Jesus. And that's the same thing in our own lives. If we really truly want to make a difference in someone's life, we need to spend time with them. And as we spend time with him, we let him come into, we become more like him. And as we become more like him, people are going to look at them and say, hey, there's something different about him. He looks like Jesus Christ. He acts like Jesus Christ. Remember, they called him Christians first in Antioch. And it's because they acted so much like Jesus Christ, they called him like a little Christian. And so many times today we call people Christians, but they're not acting much like Christ. So here, Jesus can tell us what we need to say, or God can tell us what we need to say. Now take your Bible to Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 60, you have the story of Stephen. He's being stoned to death. Now, as being stoned to death, many of us probably would have just remained silent. Many of us might have been maybe just hurt or harmed. And here, he's been preaching this great, awesome message. They take him, they cast him, and they're getting ready, and they start throwing the stones. And in Acts chapter number 7, look at what it says in verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, Stephen here has something that he's saying that I think affects someone that's in the crowd. Now, I know that you might say, well, Pastor, that's your imagination there. That's your sanctified imagination. But I think Saul is there, and Saul's holding the coats. Something had caused Saul's spirit to understand when Jesus talked to him on the road to Damascus. You know, something had convicted his heart. He had already been thinking about this. I believe Stephen's words was something that Saul never forgot. And we don't know if Saul was there when Jesus died or not, but once again, as one of the religious leaders of the day, you know, he might have been there. He might have heard Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I'm sure he heard the story about how that man said, Father, forgive them. And here, Stephen saying the same thing, and that's something that was taken with him for all this time while he's persecuting Christians, while he's dragging people from their houses, bringing them back, goes to Damascus, all those things. It affected him. It changed him. Did Stephen say that because, hey, it's what came to his mind? Maybe. But instead, Stephen, as you go back to chapter number 5, he's a spirit-filled man. You read the sermon he preached, he's a spirit-filled preacher. You know, it's amazing if you go back and you even just look at the description that was given to him. In chapter number, I think it's, let's see here, make sure I get this right. Chapter number 7 at the beginning, they sit there and they make all those accusations about him, but it looks like he has like the face of an angel, and I don't see it right this second, but it's a wonderful story that's there, and it's amazing how God works in a person's heart and mind, and how God can, actually it's chapter 6, verse number 15, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And he get up and he preaches the word of God. They cast him out of the city. They throw stones at him. And he says, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And I think that changed the people that are sitting there. That had a work in Saul's heart. And so it made a difference because that's what he was supposed to say. Let's go now to chapter number 8. In chapter number 8, you see Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch. Once again, if there was a hard case, that's what Saul was. He was a hard case. The Ethiopian eunuch was probably someone that would be considered a hard case. It says chapter 8, verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. So what the scriptures are saying there is, you know, Ethiopian eunuch, a hard case, you know, no one else probably would have approached him. The Holy Spirit sends him out there. He runs up there and he says, do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand what you're reading? You know, that's not the way we would have started. You know, we would have asked the question, do you know if you're going to die today that you go to heaven? We would have our own little routine. Do you think you're a good person? And I'm not picking on those routines. Sometimes they're starters, but we need to make sure that we are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to work in our hearts. And that's not the way I would have said it, but that's what the eunuch needed to hear. Now let's go over to chapter number 16. Chapter 16 has a famous story about Paul and Silas singing at midnight. And remember, they got put in prison for doing nothing but helping that girl, that damsel. And because of that, here they're there. They've been beaten. They've been cast in the inner prison. And at midnight, they're singing. And because at midnight, it says in verse number 32. Let's go up a little bit closer earlier than that. And it says in verse number. We'll go to verse number 28. The earthquake has happened. The chains have fallen off. The prison doors are open. The prison keeper was getting ready to kill himself. And it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we all are here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You ever been asked that question? I mean, that's what do I need to do to be saved? And I know that in my lifetime, there's been, you know, one person that's asked something similar to that. And I've had people ask me if I was a Christian and how they could become a Christian. But here, you know, how do you get there? It's Paul and Silas were being faithful this whole time. They were faithful to heal the demon-possessed girl. They were cast into the prison. And I'm sure while that guy was beating him, they were talking to him about the gospel. Somehow he knew he needed to be saved. Somehow he knew he needed to be rescued. Somehow he knew he needed something that Paul and Silas had, because he came down and he says, what must I do to be saved? That's going to be one of our great questions of the Bible sometime this year. And, where does it come from? Where do you get stories like this? It's when we allow God to use us and God to give us the words that we need to say. And then he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So I want to just try to help tonight say, you need to listen to the Lord. You don't just need to get close to him because you want to be saved. Now, when you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Eternal security. But if you want to do and make a difference with people in this world, you don't know what to say. Now, you might think you're smart. You might think you have it all figured out. You might think, hey, I can get up and I can preach off the cuff, or I can give a Sunday school off the cuff. See, I think those verses we looked at the beginning about how the Holy Spirit gives us those words when we need them, that's not referring to a teacher or preacher. That's, you know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, the workman that needeth not be ashamed. That's saying when we get into a situation that we don't know where we're going or what we're doing, the Holy Spirit will give us the words, but we also should be faithful. You shouldn't be lazy. And so remember, the Holy Spirit can give us exactly what we need when we need it, because he knows the people's thoughts afar off. So I want to encourage you tonight. Is there somebody you know that needs help? I think all of us across the room says, yes, I got a family member. I got a friend. I got this person or that person that needs Christ or it needs help, and I don't know how to help them. Surrender to the Lord. Just give yourself over to him and let him give you the words to say. It reminds me of a story. I've been working with with someone about some hymn songs and hymn stories. It reminds me of the story of a song. And I mentioned, alluded to it Sunday night during the invitation. It's called Rescue the Perishing. And many of you know that that was written by Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby, most of you know, she was a blind hymnist. She was someone who's blind and wrote hymns. And in the story, it talks about she was asked to give an address or to give her testimony to a group of people. Blue-collar type workers. And she said, as she was speaking, that the Lord impressed upon her heart that there was someone there, a boy there that night, that a dear boy that's wandered away from his mother's home and his mother's teaching, and that could he come see her at the end of the service? And at the end of the service, this boy came up and says, "You were talking about me." He said, "I promised my mom on her deathbed that I would see her someday in heaven." And he says, "And I have not gotten saved, or I have not followed the leading of the Lord." Because Fanny Crosby was willing to say the thing that only he would respond to, God gave her the words to say. Now, I don't want to think it's some type of mystical thing, because God gives us the words to say that someone else can help with. So that night, as she was returning to her bed, she kept on thinking about rescue the perishing, because that's what God had laid upon her heart, about rescuing this boy that was, they said, either that night or he was never going to get right. It's what God impressed upon her heart. So she goes and pens the words to rescue the perishing. And in that time, she then, later on in her life, she dedicated her life to rescuing the perishing. It talks about how that as a second career, in about the age of 60, she began working downtown in rescue missions. She spent several days a week in Lower Manhattan. She was witnessing to those that were down and out. Despite her fame as a hymn writer, she chose to live near poverty in New York's ghettos, for she felt a calling to minister to the needy. Just a few blocks from her little apartment was something called a Bowery. It was a haunt for alcoholics, and every vice there flourished. But it says Fanny Crosby, day by day, would go there and try to rescue the perishing. And I want to encourage you with this today, and this is not just her story, but other stories, that God gives us what we need and the words to say to reach out to the people. And I want to encourage you today to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. Be sensitive to what the Lord wants you to say. Now, do I have reactions? Oh, I'd like to have reactions. Sometimes people say questions to me, and would I like to explode on them and blow up on them? And sometimes when people are just acting ridiculous or childish, would it be something that I feel like I could talk to them, have intelligent conversation, and wear them down and be sarcastic and all? Yeah, those are fun things to do. But at the same time, is it the thing that's going to help somebody? And I'm not saying that we shy away. Sometimes we need to be bold. That's what the, he called them hypocrites. And, but sometimes we got to be like Joseph. When he walks into the room, he sees the baker there, and he sees the butler there, and they're sad. He asks them why they're sad. Now, this guy's in prison for something he did not do in a country he was sold into in slavery. He, if anybody, would not have cared about why two guys that are sitting in a jail cell was sad. It wouldn't have mattered to him. But following what God and following what the Lord would lead him to be like and care about other people, it opened up the door for someday he was going to stand before Pharaoh, and someday he was going to be released, and someday he's going to be second in charge of. He would have missed a lot of that if he had the wrong attitude. If he wasn't being close to the Lord and letting be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Rescue the perishing. I thought about the song a little bit, and there are words there. So why don't you get your hymn book out? And Brother Jim's going to tell us what page number it is. 70. I was getting ready to say, I think it's 70. But I thank you, Brother Jim. And and I guess, once again, let me make sure I say this very carefully. A hymn is not the Bible. But hymns do teach a lot of doctrine. Hymns are things that we can make application to. Hymns are good to use. Now, if a hymn disagrees with the Bible, guess what? That hymn is not good. But there's things inside, and there are some hymns that are like that. But here, I guess thinking about these words a little bit this week, rescue the perishing. Look what it says in the first one, verse 1. It says, care for the dying. It means that we're supposed to actually care. There are people that are dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. And you think about the word snatch, it means to grab, to pull away. The idea of rescuing is the same thought. If someone was in a burning building and you had the opportunity to get them and bring them out of the burning building, that's something we probably would do, is at least somebody with high character. Or if they're there and there's a car there that's been smashed up and maybe the car might explode sometime, if it's safe enough that you'll run over and try to save that person because you care. And that's what he's saying here. There are people that are not physically dying but spiritually dying, and they're going to be spending eternity in hell, and we need to snatch them up. We need to rescue them. That's what the word idea of the word saved is. If we're saved from something, we're saved from our sins, saved from the penalty of our sins, saved from I guess sin itself. Then it says, weep over the erring one. When's the last time? I know I asked this Sunday night, but when's the last time we cried and wept over someone that does not know Christ? Lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Man, tell them of Jesus. That's what we need to tell people about. It's Jesus. We like to tell people about so many other things. Tell them of Jesus. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Now go down to verse number 4. We're not going to go through the whole song, but rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Above all else, we can say, because we don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell, we want to be compassionate on them. Sometimes that fails. Sometimes we don't like the person. Sometimes we're tired. Duty demands it means that God has commanded that we go out and tell the world. That duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Once again, this is not the Bible, but these are he said, look, I'll give you strength for your labor. And the Great Commission, lo, I'm going to go with you always, even to the ends of the world. He will give you the strength to handle it. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the labor. The Lord will provide it. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them means sometimes it's going to take time. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. So what do you say? And the only reason why I'm bringing this up as an example is Fanny Crosby said the reason why God spoke to her heart about helping that young boy that day was what brought this song along. It's because God told her to say something that she didn't know who it was going to respond to, what difference it was going to make in a person's life. She was just faithful to say it. And as she was faithful to say it, someone responded. Are we going to be faithful to say things? That's what I enjoy about hymns. Many times, different hymns are attributed to individuals. But most hymn writers would tell you, it wasn't just them, but God helped them write it. God gave them the inspiration. God gave them the words. And once again, I'm not saying it's the Bible. It's not. The Word of God is complete. It's perfect. But God gives us different things to help with application, and God gives us different things to help us with our singing and our songs. And the Fanny Crosby story, I guess, kind of spoke to my heart. She knew exactly what to say. We can know what to say as we're faithful and we follow after Him. Let's get as close as we can to God. And when people are trying to bait us and people are trying to yank our chains, we'll know how to respond. Because the natural reaction is to lose it, to yell at them, to tell them a piece of our mind, and to do this and do that. And sometimes, once again, a strong stand is what's necessary, is what God desires. But let's make sure that's coming from God and not from us. Let's make sure it's not coming from our flesh or from our heart that is desperately wicked, but instead is the stand that God wants us to take. Let's make sure our speech, whether we're preaching or teaching or just speaking, is what the Lord would have, because the Lord knows exactly what that person needs. I don't know how many times I thought on my own, okay, what can I say to this person to help them? I always come up with the illustration, I don't know. You look at a person who's been maybe abused physically or emotionally. What are you going to say to them? God knows what you need to say. You look at the person who hates God, that's an atheist. I got this track or I got this video. And once again, those are all great tools. But God knows exactly what that person needs to hear. What are you going to do when you have a mate that's upset with you or angry with you? Once again, it's hard to figure out sometimes. And you think you know what they want to hear. Yeah, then you probably are definitely wrong then. But that's when God can tell you exactly what needs to be said. So I want to encourage you tonight. God knows exactly what to say. God has given you a spirit so you can, he can teach you to observe all things, things that he's taught you. He can bring those things to remembrance. He can give you things to say. Like I said in Luke chapter number 12, where we first looked at, don't worry when you go into tough situations, when you go before the magistrates and when you go before the judges. The Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need. You don't have to be worrying about it. God will provide it. Get as close to God as you can. Doesn't mean you can be lazy and not study. Doesn't mean you can be lazy and not do your work that you need to. But instead, it's sort of like that student that's asking God to give him an A on the test but didn't study for the test at all. God's not going to bless that. But he's saying, when you need me, I'm there and I can help you. I can give you the words to say. And my words, they're much greater than yours because I know what needs to be said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for tonight. Thankful for these many stories. I pray that one of these, if not multiple of these stories, would have caught their hearts and said, you know what? I need God to give me the words. I don't know what to say in this situation. I don't know how to react in this. There's people that are trying to stress me out. There's people that are trying to bait me and try to get me to react the wrong way, and I don't want to do that. So, Lord, I need you to give me the words to say. Lord, please put the words in my mouth. And, Lord, help me to have my thoughts and my words to be acceptable on your sight, Lord. Lord, I pray you help us tonight about the importance of the understanding you know exactly what to say. In Jesus' name, amen.